Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
I want to give you five prayers to pray this week, real quick. And I believe that God can speak to you and He can bless you if you will release your faith for these five things. I almost felt like I wanted to give advice to especially young people and to college students and business people, you know, that are listening to me. God has a plan for your life. And there are five things that I want to give you today that are necessary for that plan to be fulfilled that God has for your life. You might want to jot them down. You might want to pull out your iPhone and take notes and really do it. Don't be checking your grocery list. Really do it. But I want to give you quickly some thoughts, and they all begin with a P, so that it would be easy for you to remember how to pray this week. First thing I want you to pray about is I want you to get God's perspective on your life and on what you're facing right now. God's perspective. It's what the prophet said to the servant when the servant came running into Elijah, and he said, "We're surrounded by the Assyrians. They're coming from every direction. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And he said, "God, open his eyes." In other words, change his perspective. He's looking at the enemy, but God, if you'll open his eyes, he'll see the big picture. He'll get God's perspective. And when God opened his eyes, he looked at the same situation, but this time he saw the enemy, but he also saw a band of angels coming down from the hills in chariots of fire, and he wasn't surrounded by the Assyrians. God had the enemy surrounded and was about to deliver them into their hand. You're either looking at the enemy or you're looking at the angels. You're looking at the problem or you're looking at the promises. And one thing that we need if we're going to live a victorious, powerful life is the right perspective. You have to see what God sees. No matter what you're going through, don't get your eyes on the littleness of your problem. He's working all things. There's a big picture to every trial, to every challenge, to every adversity we go through. There's a big picture, and he's working all things together for the good to them that are called according to his purpose. Perspective is important, and pray every day, God, show me the big picture. Show me and help me to keep seeing the big perspective of what you see, not just the temporal situation that is causing me to be fearful and worried. Get God's and see God's perspective. Number two, be a person of prayer. If you want victory in your life, you've got to constantly pray, "Lord, open my eyes and let me see the best and let me see the good and let me see the bigness of what your plan and purpose is for my life." Secondly, you've got to be a person of prayer. Be prayerful. What other people call a coincidence, when we pray, coincidences happen. When we don't, they don't happen. Would you repeat that after me? When we pray, coincidences happen. When we don't pray, they don't happen. And that's why you need to take on the push philosophy in your prayer life. Push stands for pray until something happens. Because when we pray, coincidences happen. What a coincidence that I was needing the car and somebody gives me a car, or I find a great deal on a car. What a coincidence. It's amazing how many coincidences come to some people's lives and other people never have them. And I am convinced that I could stand up here and tell you time after time after time when I have prayed for the very thing and God made it come into my life. Be prayerful. Everybody say, be prayerful. Don't quit praying. Pray until something happens. Push. Don't just pray a day. Don't just pray a week. Don't just pray a month. But pray until something happens. Gain God's perspective. See the big picture. See what God sees. Number two, be prayerful. Be a person of prayer. And then number three, you have to develop your potential. God has given every one of you amazing potential. But that does not mean that you will reach your potential. There is a Japanese fish called the koi, K-O-I fish. The koi fish is an amazing fish because it is majorly influenced by its environment. Let me tell you what I mean. Do you know that they can take a koi fish and put it in a small fish tank, and that koi fish will not grow any bigger than 4 inches? But if you take that same fish out of the fish tank and put it in a larger fish tank, it'll grow 8 inches. If you take it and put it in a pond, it'll grow 18 inches, even though it stayed the same size as long as it was in the smaller fishbowl. And if you take it out of the pond and put it into a lake, it will grow 42 inches. The point is this: it has, every koi fish has the potential to be 42 inches long, but many of them only grow to 4 inches because of the environment that they are kept in. And the same is true for us. We have enormous potential, but if you don't ever get exposed to greater things and ever get challenged to greater things, and if all you do is stay a small fish in a small bowl instead of getting around people that are smarter, doing more, doing bigger things, stretching you, causing you to reach and use your faith and equip yourself, you have enormous potential. The Bible puts it like this: the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So don't live in a fishbowl when God has greater things for you. Do you know that there was an ice factory that caught on fire? And yet they had to call the firefighters to come put the fire out, even though they had at the ice factory all the H2O that they needed. The problem was all of its assets were frozen. And I'm saying to you that you have enormous potential, but as long as what you have is not being challenged and it's frozen and it's not being released, you cannot be what God intended you to be. Everybody say, God, release my potential. Release my potential. You have huge potential. Be prayerful. Then pray, God, release my potential. God, keep challenging me. Let me move from faith unto faith, from victory unto victory. Don't let me settle for a little fish tank when you have greater things for me and bigger things for me. But always be enlarging me. Always be releasing my potential. Get God's perspective. See the big picture. Be prayerful. I want you to believe for God to release huge potential in you. And number four, be positive. When David saw Goliath, he had two possible reactions. He could have ran out and said, "He's so big, I better run for my life." But instead, he ran out and he said, "He's so big, there's no way I can miss that big corn-fed, big-headed fool. I'm going to take him out with a rock." Be positive. Be incredibly positive. I tell you, you'll stand out in life. If Bill and Sue have a problem, and Bill and Mary have a problem, and Bill and Jack have a problem, and Bill and Sam have a problem, Bill is the problem. And anytime I've learned this about negative people, if you see somebody hanging out with negative people, all the negative people go to this person, it's because that person is a negative person. You can count it. You can mark it down. It's always true. That's a law. You attract what you are. Be positive. Positive things happen. Don't get down. Don't get discouraged. Don't get depressed. Don't get suicidal. Don't give up. It doesn't matter how life changes and what seasons happen. Be positive. Be positive, incredibly positive. And then I want to say, number five, expect God's provision. Expect God's provision. Because God owns everything. Say amen. Amen. I'm telling you, when I started out, I didn't have nothing. I was broker than the Ten Commandments. I didn't have anything. But I have learned that God owns it all. There was a man in an airport, and he was waiting on his flight, and he had some time, and he wasn't real hungry. He just wanted a little snack, so he got him a cup of coffee and bought him a little bag of little donuts. And he started to sit down. He couldn't find a table. All the tables were full, and there was only one table in the little area. And he walked over, as many times you've probably done this if you've been in the airport. And it's not uncommon for somebody you don't even know to be sitting at one end of the table, and you sit at the other end. And this guy, he walks over with his coffee, sets it on the table, takes his coat off, puts it on the chair, sets his bag down, and sits down in the chair, and takes the lid off, takes a sip of his coffee, and pulls out his newspaper and reaches over and grabs the bag of donuts and takes a donut out and starts eating it and sipping his coffee. And all of a sudden, the guy on the other end of the table reaches his hand across the table into the man's bag of donuts and takes a donut and smiles and starts eating one of the donuts. Well, I have never in my life, can you believe the audacity of this jerk eating my donut? So the man grabs the bag of the donut and pulls it all the way to the edge and turns his body to send a body posture message as if to say, you leave my donuts alone. And he straightens his newspaper and reaches in and eats another donut. And all of a sudden, the man stands up, stretches all the way across the table, grabs another donut out, smiles at the man, and takes another bite and starts eating another donut. He cannot believe him. He really wants to fight him and say something to him, but it's pretty obvious the guy must not all be there. He's one banana short of a fruit basket. Something's not right with this fella, and he may be violent, so he holds his peace, but he's really ticked. And after the guy eats his second donut, he stands up and grabs his stuff and walks off to catch his flight. And the guy, you donut thief, he's thinking, what a jerk you are. And then he notices the time is time for his flight. So he stands up and puts his coat on and starts to reach down to pick up his bag. And when he does, on top of his suitcase is his bag of donuts. I'll wait on you. He thought the man was taking from him when really the man was sharing, because the donuts were not his. He had all the donuts, and he was sharing his donuts with a smile with a jerk. Now, I want to make the point. Here it is. God owns all the donuts. What do you mean you want one out of my 10 donuts? God owns. We look at God like he's some kind of freak saying, give me one out of 10. I give you 10 donuts every week. All I want in return is one donut. God, come on, say it with me. God owns all the donuts. If he wants to, he can take all the donuts off your plate and just walk away. But he's a good God, and he keeps blessing you and blessing you. And you eat 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 donuts. And then you say, that's too much to give to the one who owns them all. You eat and eat and eat, and all you have is the crumbs off the Krispy Kreme. And when the offering bag comes by, you do like that. when God owns it all. He owns it all. We're supposed to give him all of our time, all of our talent, all of our treasure. What does that mean? That means that we're just stewards of it. And Lord, I put you first in these areas of my life. What I'm saying to you, that it's more than mouth service. That if you want him to be your provider, if you will put God first, he will bless your life and all of these things will follow you. There are five questions that you need to ask if you want to know if Jesus is first in your life. If you want to know if he's first in your life, no playing games this morning. We all say he's first. I love him. If he is not first in these areas of your life, he is not first in your life. And let's use the word first, F-I-R-S-T. Is he first in your finances? For out of the scripture said, for where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be. Is he first in your finances? Don't say he's first if he's not first in your finances. Do you honor him with the tithe? Do you honor him with your giving? Do you honor him? This is not a commercial. This is not a preacher asking for your money. This is the word of God. 16 out of 38 parables that Jesus taught dealt with money, dealt with stewardship, dealt with what you do with your resources, because he understood the love of money is the root of all evil. And the 10th commandment is thou shalt not covet, which is another word for covet is materialism. There's nothing wrong with having things, but God does not want you to worship things. He wants you to put him first, and we are stewards of everything that he gives us. He owns all the donuts. Is he first in your, the F is finance. Is he first in your interest? In your interest, the I in first. I mean, what are you interested in? What preoccupies your whole week? What kind of books and magazines and stuff, and how much time do you spend? Is he a major part of your interest? If he's not a major part of your interest, if you don't have interest in him all week long, he's not first in your life. If you've got 8 hours for Facebook and 7 hours for this and 3 hours for that, and all of these interests that we have, but somehow Jesus gets lost in the trunk. He's first in your finances. He's first in your interest. He's first in your relationships. The R stands for relationships in the letters of first. Is he first in your relationship? Is he first? Do you put him first? Do you just date anybody you want and it has nothing to do, you say, with your spiritual life? That is not making Jesus first. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And if he's not first in your relationship, he's not first in your life. Well, I'm going to flirt to convert. And he's a heathen, but I believe I can just flirt and convert and he'll get saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. I don't care how many muscles he has. I don't care how good she looks. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care how pretty they are. If they don't love Jesus Christ, you have no business being with them. First in your finances. First in your interest. First in your relationships. First, the S stands for in your schedule. What's your schedule like? What's your day like? If he's not in your day, if he's not in your schedule, if there's no prayer time, if there's no Bible reading, if there's no feeding of your spirit, if there's nothing that hardly acknowledges God all week long, all you are is a trunk Christian. You have him in the car, in the trunk, and you pull him out happy hour every Sunday morning. I'm telling you that he will affect your schedule. Every day there ought to be a prayer place. Every day there ought to be time spent in the Word. Did you know that if you'll read the Bible 15 minutes a day, you can read the entire Bible through every year? It doesn't take huge amounts of time, but it's just scheduling it in and saying, you know, I must read the Bible and I must pray. These are important things. And if you'll do it, if you'll read the Word will read you. And dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. And if you'll read this book, it'll clean you. It'll clean you. It'll sanctify you. It'll set you free. It'll help you. It'll strengthen you. And you may not need that word that you read that morning. Or that night when you go to bed and you open it up, it may mean nothing to you. You just read it. But the next day at about 3 o'clock, when all hell's breaking loose and the Holy Spirit will remind you of the very words you read last night, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And suddenly a confidence comes because you've had Him in your schedule. And then lastly, boy, this may be the biggest test of whether or not God is first in your life. The T in the word first stands for, is He first in your trouble? What do you do when trouble comes? Do you turn to a bottle? Do you turn to a pill? Do you turn to screaming? Do you turn to anger? Do you turn to depression? Do you turn to fear and worry and anxiety? The real sign that Jesus is first in your life, you meet someone who He's first, and it's not that they're exempt from trouble, but when trouble comes, they know who to run to. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. I run and cling to Him in trouble. My first thought is not the bank. My first thought is not the doctor. My first thought is not this or that. My first thought is Jesus. Who do you run to in trouble? That's a real sign of whether or not He's first. And if He's first, then you'll get His perspective. You'll see what He sees. If He's first, you'll be prayerful. If He's first, you'll realize that you have huge potential. If He's first, you'll be positive. And if He's first, you will see His miraculous provision, because He owns all the donuts. And when He's first, He will bless you in ways that will astound you. So I'm speaking that over your life, and I'm telling you, pray this week. God, make me positive. God, let me see from Your perspective. Let me see what my natural eye is not focusing on. Let me see what You see. God, show me things. Show me, Lord. Show me how to be prayerful. Let me be prayerful this week. Let me be positive. Let me be, oh God, see that provision that I know You have. I'm telling you, if you'll pray it, God can do it. I don't believe any of you are here by accident today. I believe today can be the most significant day, as it was in the first service, in many people's lives. If you will turn your life over to Jesus Christ, if you will make Him first, if you will say, Lord, You don't deserve a second place, a back seat, a trunk, or out on the side of the road hitchhiking, but I want You to be my sovereign Lord. I will put You first in my life. I'm telling you, if you'll do that, you'll see the potential and the miracle that God has for your life. If you believe that, say amen.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.